gridiron.
Shut your mouth, podcasting.
Yards, touchdowns.
Shut your mouth, podcasting. First round draft pick. Believe we got stats, kid. Quarterback sacking. 100-yard dashing. So tap in for the action.
Welcome to the Sim Podcast. I'm your co-host, Eric, and I'm always joined by my co-host, Ron. Ron, what's going on?
What's going on, man? Week four. Here we go.
Week four, episode 100, Ron. Episode 100, right. And we're doing it in the middle of the hurricane. Although, we're going to get a lot of flooding, that's what I've heard. It's going to be a lot of rain. But, you know, we just pray that those people in the West Coast, Gulf of Mexico, are do okay. I know they've been hit big before, but
yeah, I know.
Hey, keep on moving. Just keep on moving. We're going to do the NFL news. We're going to do the week three reviews. We're going to do our predictions for the week four. We're going to do our prediction for our teams, our upset specials. And of course, we're going to end it with our power rankings. And Ron, I know we talked about this briefly before I forgot to hit the record button, but why is McCaffrey going to Germany? Like, I know in the past, as Americans, right, we always made fun of the European medicine because it's technically free. They're not supposed to get the best medical procedures, but I see if you can afford it, I see a lot of players going overseas. So what's going on? Why is McCaffrey going to Germany?
To get additional treatment, I believe, right? To talk to other doctors. Maybe there's other treatment therapies that they have over there that we just don't do. Our doctors here in America don't really recommend or may not see benefit in. McCaffrey's not the first. Many athletes in many different sports have gone overseas. I think even Kobe Bryant, if I remember right, way back in the day,
to go overseas. For Achilles heel, right?
Yeah. So, listen, he's doing his best to get back on the field as quickly as possible. So, you know, if it takes going overseas to see some doctors there, then, you know, so be it.
The other set of news, and this came out, this made like headlines for some reason. Brett Favre comes out and said he has a Parkinson's. I can't say this for some reason.
Parkinson's
disease, right? Mm-hmm. Parkinson's. I don't know what's going on. Parkinson's disease. Thank you.
There you go.
is it a big deal? Or is he just trying to get out of doing jail time?
It's a big deal, you know. Listen, I don't think anyone knew until he mentioned it that he had it. You know, it's unfortunate. It's a disorder that, you know, impacts quite a few people. And from my understanding, like, you know, as they're going through it, as it progresses, it's really debilitating. So, you know, there's a huge impact on like your muscles and all that stuff, and you know, with the shaking and all that. So it's very painful illness to have. So, you know, it sucks. Despite like all the stuff that he's gone through, whatever he's, you know, in court for, whatever, you know, speaking to Congress or whatever, no one should have to go through, you know, that type of illness.
I mean, Michael J. Fox, right? Back to the Future. He famously has it. I think I saw him one time in the episode of Curvy Enthusiasm. But aside from the fact that he's sick, do you feel bad for him that he's enthralled in this Mississippi mess?
No, not at all. I still think he knew what he was getting into, where the money was coming from, and that, you know, that what he was doing was illegal. So no, I don't have any sympathy in terms of any of that stuff. No.
And I think, in my opinion, it kind of tarnished his legacy because we're going to know him as a great quarterback, right? Great football player. But then what he does in his like past is playing days. This is not good. This is going to like put a big, huge stain on whatever legacy that he may have had. Like, you know, people are going to look at him different, right? Like, we remember when he was like thriving in the 90s. I remember him when the Patriots played him in that Super Bowl in 96. He was pretty awesome in that game. I mean, that's really all I remember him, that he beat the Patriots and then he had a pretty good career.
Ultimate gunslinger on the field, for sure. You know, just the way he played was just awesome to watch, you know. He kind of reminded you of someone that would be playing in a backyard, just like slinging it all over the place. But everything wasn't good, right? And there were some other off the field issues with sexual harassment cases and stuff like that.
Yeah, when he was with the Jets, a lot of stuff came out.
Yeah, you know, is Brett Favre a good person off the field? Doesn't seem like it, right? But on the field, he was an incredible athlete. Hall of Famer for sure. And I think, you know, he'll be remembered for both.
Yeah, yeah. It's a mix emotions that I have because I think he's in the Hall of Fame, right? I think he's in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, this is sad in a way because he's sick, but it's sad in other ways because he took advantage of that people on welfare.
Yeah.
Let's review week number three, Ron. And Ron, I actually won week three. And if I'm looking at the totals right now, you have 26 points and I have 25.
And yeah, you caught up. I did terrible last week.
And you know what? And we'll get to the why, what happened. But let's talk about these divisions that are doing really, really bad, Ron. Let's start with the AFC South, because it's not shaping out how we thought it was going to shape out, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's still early for sure. If you look at some of these teams, though, really Jacksonville is the one that stands out the most at 0-3, not just because they're 0-3, it's the way that they're losing just looks completely dysfunctional. That's a team that I think everyone would have thought would be competing for the division with Houston. But, you know, like I said last week, I still think it's early. You know, only three games down. There's definitely opportunity for them to turn things around. You know, but, you know, a lot needs to happen between now and the end of the season. So we'll see.
Jacksonville is 0-3. Tennessee is 0-3. The Colts are 1-2. I think 0-3. Like, as a matter of fact, I know for a fact 0-3 is literally the kiss of death. I think in the past 24 years, only one team has made the playoffs when they started 0-3. And I think that was 2018 Houston Texans. It's going to be hard for them to make the playoffs, even with that extra wild card spot available. It's going to be hard. But do you think there's something wrong with the Texans? Because they didn't win last week.
They're 2-1. What do you think's wrong with them? I know they didn't look well. You know, they played poorly last week, but it's a week-to-week season, man. Like, every single team, I don't care who you are, there's no such things as easy wins in the NFL. So when you play teams that you should beat, but, you know, you're playing on the road, the crowd gets loud, you make a few mistakes, two or three mistakes in the game could cost you the game. So I think all these teams are close. I don't think Houston's, you know, from one loss has anything really to really be concerned with at all.
What about the Colts? They're 1-2. I think they're... Is Richardson not ready? Like, I had doubts about Richardson before the season, but I feel like the doubts are creeping in now, and they're being substantial by the way he's playing right now.
Their situation is a lot more concerning, right? Because with Houston, you've seen Stroud do it. You know what he can be. He can be an MVP type, you know, caliber player. With Richardson, there's just the unknown of like, how good can he be? He only played a couple games last season. He looked okay before he got hurt, but it's the small sample size. Small sample size was when he was in college too. He didn't play a lot. So here you come off, start the season, you know, with him playing poorly, 6 interceptions so far. He's been sacked 4 times. You know, I think he fumbled twice as well, it looks like. So he needs to learn how to take care of the ball. Because you can't win games when you're turning the ball over like he is. So, unfortunately, we're in the middle of the season right now. That's stuff you kind of want to get out of your system in the preseason and stuff. So, I don't know. You say, is he ready? I think that's a big question, right? So, is he ready to, you know, to learn and develop? Yes. Will there be some, like, bumps and, you know, grinds along the way? Absolutely. And, you know, if he ends up having a terrible season, can't write him off, right? You got to continue to develop him. You know, he was your first round pick a year ago. So, and doesn't necessarily mean if he has a bad season that it's, you know, things can't turn around for him. But Houston, I'm comfortable with for sure. I think they'll do well. Now, I know they have a strong, tough schedule. And the second time around, sometimes teams start to figure out a little bit. But with the Colts, but, you know, that's a team that I've definitely have some concerns with for sure.
So you think that the Jaguars can turn it around?
I don't have a lot of faith in them either. I don't have faith in the Jaguars turning it around because not just with the play that I'm seeing on the field, but like the coach quarterback relationship, just like the body language I'm seeing. There's a lot of things I'm seeing with Jacksonville. It's like, what is going on? And this with them, it's not just this year, right? Just going back to how they finished last season too as well, right? So, you know, last what is it, like 11, 12 games or so, you know, they've lost like 8 or 9 of them. So that's a problem. That goes back to last year. And that's, if that continues, and you know, you mentioned beginning, we'll talk about coaches on the hot seat. And that's something that can cost Peterson his job, I think, if he's not able to right the ship and turn things around. Because Lawrence isn't going anywhere. You know, people are saying, oh, he's like an average quarterback, this and that. They just gave him, you know, his
extension,
paycheck, basically. Yeah. Right,
extension. Extension, so, yeah.
He ain't going nowhere. So if he ain't going nowhere, then it's obviously the coach that's going to be the person that it's going to fall on. So that's, I think, a situation we teams will need to like monitor for sure.
The other division that I wanted to talk about is the NFC South, because we got the Panthers and Falcons at 1-2. Then you got the Bucks and Saints at 2-1. Is the division still winnable by the Falcons? Is it still winnable by the Bucks? Is it still winnable by the Saints? Or is it even the Panthers, now that they made a change, is it still winnable? Because now Deontay Johnson all of a sudden is good.
Oh, he's always been good. Don't, you know.
But he wasn't getting the ball with Bryce Young. All of a sudden,
that's what it is, right? You're only as good as like who's throwing you the ball. You know, you can't put up numbers if there's no opportunities because they're not throwing in your direction or the throws are just like way all over the place. So I don't think one win necessarily means that they're a playoff team or a playoff contention team. No, they're still a terrible team to me. Got a long ways to go. I think the change in quarterback position was needed, and they'll do a little bit better, obviously. But no, they don't have a chance. I think the other teams all have a chance. Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa. Those teams are all pretty, you know, talented. I know New Orleans, you know, they got like dusted this past week, but, you know, what that coach, that offensive coordinator have been doing there in New Orleans. I think what they're building, I'm starting to have like faith in, and I think they'll be, you know, okay. I think they'll be right in the thick of things at the end of the season, but I'm still, you know, I'm high on Atlanta. You know that. I think the Falcons, they've done enough to win a division this season with the roster moves they made. So that's still my team to come out of that division.
So out of all these coaches in that division, I would trust Raheem more, but I don't know. Dennis Allen, is he a winner? Because I know he was with the Raiders, but is he a winner as long as he doesn't fumble the ball, so to speak, or is the Tampa Bay coach a winner?
I think they're both good coaches. I think, you know, they're teams that are kind of similar in terms of like they got like some veterans, some aging players that are still, you know, competing. You know, I think, like I said, I think they'll both those teams will be in it along with Atlanta. So, you know, we'll see how the year goes. Now, injuries can always occur and that can derail your entire season. So you just never know.
All right, Ron. So let's go into our week three teams. And let's start with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They beat the Chargers at home 20-10. Ron, is there anything that of this game that you thought, other than the defense, which was phenomenal, no points in the second half for the Chargers, what caught your eye, so to speak?
I think Justin Fields played a lot better. The flow of the offense was a lot better in the second half. Didn't do a lot to, you know, in the first half. I still think Fields played well in the first half. I thought we used the middle of the field, something we hadn't really done the first part of the season. I think he did a good job of just, you know, finding the open guys, made a couple like big plays. We had at least like five explosive plays, you know, 20 yards or more. So they looked impressive. You know, scoring 20 points is good. I think they've, the last few games, there were times they could have put up like 20 plus points. But, you know, with the officiating and stuff, kind of like just mental errors. I think the offense is on the verge, like they say, of just like really, I don't want to say exploding, but really getting into a groove where they're, you know, reasonable, right? So they're putting up 21, 22, 23 points each week. And not like last year when it was a struggle just to get like 16, 17 points, you know, from week to week. So I think they got a good coordinator, and I, you know, I like what I've seen so far from all of these games, to be honest.
Would you rather have Fields or Wilson?
I think I'd like to have both. Let me just say that. But I think I trust Wilson more, not just from a leadership of, you know, from a vocal presence and just a leadership, just his ability to throw, I trust him more. Now, Fields gives you that dynamic of being able to run and stuff. When a play breaks down, there's certain things that Fields does that Wilson can't do. Like the guy's chasing you. You know, Wilson's like, he's going to be able to run and move around the pocket and stuff like that, but he just doesn't have the athletic ability that Fields does. And that's exciting. Having said that, when you get to the end of the season, right, and you're playing other tough teams and you need to win games and you get into the playoffs, and every team that you play is tough, you're going to need to play within the pocket. Yeah, you can use your legs from time to time, but you got to be able to make throws consistently. And Fields has, for the most part, he's done a better job of doing that this year. But I trust Wilson just based on what I've seen throughout his entire career to be able to do that. Now, I would love to have Fields long term. That's why, you know, I'd like to have both. I think it would be good if Wilson can get healthy and play at some point in the season. Now, it's not going to happen unless Fields falters and we start to lose some games. But it wouldn't have been ideal to be able to have like Wilson there, you know, if he's, you know, what we've seen of him over the last like few years or so, just manage the offense, still make some big plays downfield. But at the same time, it'd be great to have Fields to be able to develop, because I think he can still be a franchise quarterback. You know, it, from what we've seen so far, I think he can do it, but yeah, he still has a ways to go.
So Wilson, if Wilson is healthy, do you bring him back even though you're 3-0?
That's going to be a decision. That's going to be a tough decision.
No, I'm asking you, what would you do?
It depends on what I've seen. Like, how are we winning, right? If I look at last year, for example, it's the same thing. We were winning games. We were winning like 13-10, you know, 15-12. If I'm seeing that we're winning number one and scoring, putting up points, then I'm not making the change. But if we are, let's say we're not winning, or we're barely winning, and you know, there's been a lot of three and outs and the offense just can't get into a flow a lot like last year, then yeah, I'm making a change, because we need to see, we need Wilson to get out there and shake off some of the dust. And so that, you know, by the end of the season, when it's time to hit the playoffs, you know, he's good to go. So to answer your question right now, I would not know. But if I see something, if I start to see something different in terms of Fields' performance or the team's performance overall, then yeah, I would pull the trigger.
Yeah, I wouldn't change a thing right now. If it ain't broken, don't fix it. Whether you're winning, scoring 20 points, scoring 13 points, as long as you have that defense there, there's no. To me, you can kick field goals all you want. As long as you have more points than the other team, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, you know, when you come into the divisional games, then that's another subject. But we're not there yet. So, and we'll talk about our week 4 opponent. Let's talk about the Patriots, Ron. They got annihilated on Thursday. Are the Jets just a better team, period, or did the Patriots not show up on Thursday? Like, because to me, it's like it's a combination of both. They didn't show up, and the Jets have a much, much better team.
I don't know. I wouldn't go as far as say it's a much, much better team, but they have a better team. And it starts at the quarterback position, right? Aaron Rodgers is a future Hall of Famer. He just has control of that offense. He has some decent, not a lot, but some decent tools around him. And he was able to, like, you know, get the ball up the field and put the ball in the end zone. Whereas Patriots, you know, they don't have a lot, as much talent offensively at the skill positions as the Jets do. I think, you know, they're still trying to figure out who the number one receiver is. Quarterback situation, we know already is, let's work on, you know, it is what it is at this point. So, you know, I don't necessarily think that there's a huge talent gap between the Patriots and the Jets, but I just think it starts with the quarterback position. And then like a couple skilled players and a competent OC, you know, that's a lot. That is a lot. But, you know, I think, you know, in a year or two, these teams will be pretty even, to be honest with you.
In a year or two, that's looking at things in a very, very positive light. Because the box score doesn't match anything that you just explained. I mean, 7 sacks the Jets had on Thursday night. 133 yards rushing compared to 79. They had 291 passing yards compared to 120. I mean, they had one more turnover, which I just, we're not even there. We're not even there. For some reason, our front line didn't show up when it comes to when it mattered. I just, what I say before the game, I said, can you at least be competitive? And they were not. They were not competitive. So I don't think the rosters are even comparable. They have better players. The Jets have, they have better quarterback, as you mentioned, and they have a better running back. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson, 23 yards total. That's pitiful.
Carries, though. They didn't get the running game going. It's not just on him, right?
They didn't get anything going.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just have six carries and Brissett, call it
98
bad.
Yards. Not even 100. 98 yeah. yards.
He, like I said, he's the part of the problem. Well, he's part of the problem. The questions around your receiver, right, is part of the problem because this is a tight end heavy system. And Reset, you know, keeps looking to the tight ends and stuff. Do you have the receiver? I know Douglas came in and got seven catches, but is he really a number one receiver? No one should, you know, think that. But on, you know, the opposite end, do you know who the Jets' number one is? Do you know some of the other guys that are on the field there? But, you know, I think, listen, these two defenses too, I don't think the Patriots defense are that far behind the Jets. I would take, you know, position to position. If you look at Gonzalez, for example, versus Sauce Gardner, give me Gonzalez. I like Gonzalez's game. I think he's, you know, he's a future Pro Bowler at the cornerback position. You know, I love the way he plays. So I just think the defenses are really close. I just think, again, like it just comes down to the quarterback situation. And that's been going to be the case the entire year. That's why, you know, I've been telling you, let's throw May out there and let's see what you got, because you know what you got at percent.
You're going to, you know, throw Drake May to the feeding frenzy
because the outcome's going to be the same. You know, win or lose, it's probably, you're probably going to be the same. You're not going to
develop bad habits.
No.
Look at what happened with Williams. Look at what happened to Williams right now. He doesn't have an offensive line, and he's just running back, running forward. You don't want that. You don't want your QB to develop bad habits because you have a bad offensive line. Listen, keep Drake May on ice. Let Brissett go out there. And you know, if he gets hurt. But if he's not hurt, he's getting paid $8 million. He knows what he signed up for. And I think he said in an interview.
What's the plan, though? Like, don't play him at all?
No, the plan is the offensive line is better, put him
which
in.
Won't, when will that be?
Exactly. We don't know. We don't know when that'll be. We don't know. But
is that
you don't
this
just
year,
throw
though?
Him out
is
to
it,
the Lions.
Is it next year?
You don't throw him out to the Lions. You know your offensive line. Listen, they have people from the practice squad from other teams release them starting for the Patriots. Come on now. You can't put a rookie out there. That is dangerous. That is dangerous talk. And let's talk about week number four, Ron.
Well, let's talk about our upset special before you get there.
Oh, yes.
I know we didn't talk about that last week. So you, it's 2 weeks in a row you hit on yours, right?
I don't think I hit week three. Let me see. Who did I pick week three?
So week
two. I did win the Cleveland New York Giants New York Giants game, and then week two, who did I have on my upset special?
You had Tampa beating Detroit.
Yeah, I am on a roll, so to speak.
Yeah.
Listen.
So you had
I had the Giants.
Wow.
Because I think Watson just stick a fork in him. I don't know why. Why he hasn't been good in like 4 years. He hasn't been good in four years. He doesn't have Nick Chubb to protect him. He's basically naked out there. And I don't mean that as a pun. He's just out there I don't even know what he's doing. And the thing is, Cleveland is basically stuck with him, right?
Yeah.
They gave him that guaranteed contract. They're stuck with him. And full disclosure, I did not watch any of these games because I was at the beach. But the Giants, who I think you said that Malik Nabers could be rookie of the year. Offensive rookie of the year. But is that who you chose?
I think I ended up going with Caleb Williams for the offensive rookie of the year, if I'm not mistaken. But I think Malik Nabers and Harrison are both in good situations. But Nabers specifically, he's going to get force-fed the ball. They don't have a lot of options there. They know how good Nabers is. So they're just going to, and they've done a really good job the last 2 weeks of like designing plays to get him the ball. 8 catches this week. I think he probably had like 8 the week before too. They're finding ways to get him the ball, which is what you're supposed to do, you know, with your good players, especially your young players. Get them out there, throw screen passes, whatever you got to do. Give them reverses, get them in the game, because that's your best player. You drafted him, and you got to use him. So that's what the Giants have been doing. And win, lose, or draw, I think that's the right approach, you know, for the Giants for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking at the awards, and you did go with Williams. And I went with, guess who? The hottest rookie right now, Jaden Daniels. And we'll talk about him along the line in the podcast because you know why. He's part of my upset special. But we'll talk about it when it comes. So let's jump into week 4. And we are going to skip the Thursday night game because that is part of your upset special. So we'll skip it for now, but we'll go. This is Saturday game? Is that right?
No,
that's Sunday. New Orleans Saints at Atlanta. I put these at Monday's spread, so if it's the spread change, sorry, I didn't update in time. Atlanta is favored by 2 points. The over and under is 42.5. Who'd you go with, Ron?
I'm sticking with my Atlanta, right? They were my upset special last week. We need to talk about that. They blew that game last week against Kansas City. They should have won that one. Just horrible officiating at the end with the non-pass interference call. And then that 4th-and-1 decision was just a really bad play call, but they should have won that game. I think Atlanta, like I told you, is a really good team. You'll see that when you get to my rankings. I got them winning this game. So I think it'll be a close game. New Orleans, like I said, is playing really well. I don't think it's going to be an easy win for Atlanta. They don't seem to have home court or home field advantage anymore when they play at home. So that's kind of disappointing, I'm sure, for you know, for Atlanta. But I think they'll hold on to win this game.
I'm going with the Saints only because this is indoors on turf. I want David Carr should have a good game. But mostly I picked New Orleans Saints because the Ring of Honor, they did it last Sunday, right, against Kansas City. And it was Arthur Blank who nominated himself, but he also owns a team. So it was kind of weird that he nominated himself to the Ring of Honor, even though he owns a team. Big production, special jackets. I mean, I guess you can do that kind of stuff when you own the team, but come on, man. I mean, come on. And he was pushing a lot of stuff. He was like, oh, I give to the community. And, you know, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I want to go to Atlanta Field in person because I heard they have the best food. So I'll give him prop for that, for having the best food in NFL stadiums.
One of the nicest stadiums, yeah.
One of the nicest stadiums, but come on, man. You anointed yourself into the Ring of Honor for the Hawks, for the Atlanta Falcons, sorry. I don't know. To me, that's just very fishy, but hey, it's his team, so he can do whatever he wants. The next game, the Rams at the Bears. Bears are favored by 2 points. The four over and under is 40.5. Ron, who'd you go with?
Yeah, I went with the Rams here. I know they have a lot of injuries. At the end of the day, though, I think it'll come down to the quarterback position. And like you said earlier, Caleb's running for his life, whereas Matt Stafford's he's just one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Period. Don't think he ever gets the credit for being that, but he keeps his team in it all the time. I got the Rams winning.
So I want you to say, Ron, on a recorded line, you're off the Chicago Bears now.
I am officially off the Chicago bandwagon. And it's not so much about Caleb Williams. It's just that offensive line is just horrible. The running back, Swift, has looked terrible. I don't know what's going on with him either. But I'm off that bandwagon.
So... Why do you think they gave Swift the money instead of Barkley?
Because I don't know.
It was only like $8 million difference. You could have had Barkley instead of Swift.
I don't necessarily think Swift, they needed him to go in and be, a 1,000-yard running back. Although I think he shouldn't have been able to do that based on what we've seen in the past, but... Look at the Giants and what they're doing with, their running back, right? That guy's looking good. What's his name? Singletary?
They only won one game.
Yeah, but he's still playing well. That's my point. Whereas, Swift, he's not running well at all.
This is the thing. I'm questioning the Chicago Bears GM because... He knew he had the first round pick. He knew he was going to pick Williams. Why not protect him with Barkley? Why not, say, okay, let me sign a veteran so that way if Williams goes sideways, Barkley's there to back him up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It makes me think, do you guys know what you're doing? What was the whole point of Hard Knocks? To make you look good on TV, but then in real life, you didn't have a plan. And that coach for the Bears, I don't even know if he's good. Because now I feel like he has the players, but he's still not drawing up the calls for him. So
can you guess how many yards Swift has so far rushing?
I know he's averaging like 2.5 or something ridiculous.
He has 68 yards rushing. He is averaging 1.8 yards.
How many does Barkley have?
Oh my gosh. Barkley's way up there. Let me see if I can pull up his stats real quick. I'm sure he's leading the league for sure. So 351 yards already on 63 attempts, 5.6 average, 4 touchdowns, and also 10 receptions to go along with that. And I looked up Singletary stats too. He, he's having a, like I said, like what I thought, what I expected from him. So he got close to 200 yards, 197 already, 4.7 for, for carry, 2 touchdowns. So I think that's more in line, I think, what people expected from Swift in Chicago, and they're not getting anything close to that.
No.
So he's been a huge disappointment.
I think what happened with Swift is that he looked great in Philly because they had a good offensive line. And Kelsey was a center, so things were great. Now that he has a bad offensive line, he's hurting. And so is Williams. Minnesota at Green Bay, Packers are favored by 3 points. The over and under is 43.5. Ron, who'd you go with?
Yeah, I'm going with Green Bay here. This is in Green Bay. I think, Minnesota's a good team. they can certainly win this game, but I just have a feeling what's his name, the quarterback's going to play here. So give me Green Bay to win this one.
So you think Love will play in this game?
I think so.
I'm going with Minnesota. I'm riding the hot Sam Darnold, and I want to apologize to Sam Darnold. I know I made many jokes about him seeing ghosts and how terrible he was with the Jets, how bad he was with Carolina. I don't know if he even played with the Niners that much. A couple of games I think Brock Purdy missed, but listen, I like what Brian Flores is doing with his defense. He has them flying everywhere. You don't know the scheme, and I told you, he has his defense with the most sacks. I don't know what the turnover is, but I just love what he's doing. I love Kevin O'Connell as a head coach. He beat Bill Belichick a couple of times. I like what they're doing in the Vikings, and I just like the Vikings a lot. The next game, Denver Broncos at New York Jets. The Jets are favored by 7 points, which is kind of high, but the over and under is 38.5. Ron, who'd you go with?
I'm going with the Jets. I know Denver, I think they just came off a win, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they're both the Bucks.
Yeah, but I'm going with the Jets.
Yeah, I'm going with the Jets too. I think they have a better roster, but I think this game can be close. It's in MetLife Stadium. Let's see. I just think that 7 points is a little bit too high, but it is Bo Nix, and I think he had a rushing touchdown, but not a passing one. The next game, the Eagles are at the Bucks. Eagles are favored by 2.5. The over under is 44.5. Ron, who'd you pick?
Yeah, it's a tough one here. I ended up going with Philly. I think I'm going to stick with that. I think they are the better roster for sure. I love Baker Mayfield, but after seeing last week, there's definitely some question marks on Tampa's defense. So give me Philly to win this one.
Yeah, I also went with Philly only because I feel like their defense is coming along. I think they finally got to the quarterback. That game against Atlanta, they didn't get to the quarterback as much. They got to the quarterback against the Saints, and I think it's going to be the same against Tampa. They're going to get to the quarterback. The next game, Ron, Bengals at Panthers. Bengals are favored by 2.5. The 47.5 is over and under. Who'd you go with?
I went with Cincinnati. I don't feel confident in this one at all. I think, I don't know what's going on. So speaking of dysfunctional teams, they got to turn things around real quick. Cincinnati does. Carolina, like I said, they still got a lot of holes. I don't know if the change in quarterback is sufficient to beat the Bengals. I'm going with Cincinnati.
I went with Cincinnati. I know they're 0-3, and it's basically the kiss of death. They're going to be a lot of points because neither of these teams play defense whatsoever. I just think Joe Burrow might score more, but listen, they let Washington with a rookie quarterback go all over the place. I don't know what Andy Dalton is going to do in this team, so 2.5 sounds about right. Next game is the Jaguars at Texans. Texans are favored by 6 points. 45.5 is the over and under. Ron, who'd you go with?
Yeah, I went with the Texans. I think they probably felt embarrassed with what happened in Minnesota. They're going to look to rebound, and I think they'll take it out on Jacksonville. This could be a beatdown.
Is Mixon going to be back for this game?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know if they need him necessarily, though.
I know last week they got hurt by not having Mixon there on the game. And I think whether or not Mixon comes back is going to determine. I went with Houston, but it's going to determine whether this is a close game or not a close game. I don't know what I mean, the Jaguars, are they throwing the kitchen sink at the Texans for this game or no?
No, it's a must win for them too, I think. They probably feel that way. The pressure's on them, so I just have more faith in what Houston's doing and more confidence in their coaching and the players themselves too to turn things around.
Yeah, I mean, 0-3, you have to throw the kitchen sink in this game. 0-3. The next game is the Browns at Raiders. Raiders are favored by 1.5. The over number is 37.5. Ron, who'd you go with?
Yeah, believe it or not, I went with Cleveland here. The situation with the Raiders and their quarterback, and like who's going to be starting this week and all that stuff, that's not, you know, you got to have that figured out. That gave me pause a little bit. I know Cleveland is Cleveland, and they'll figure out a way to blow this game, but I got Cleveland winning this one.
I went with the Raiders only because, again, I'm not going with Watson. I'm sorry, I'm not going with Watson. Until they make a change, Winston is there. Why not put Winston in? He's there. What's that other player? DTR, whatever his nickname is. He's there. Why not put anybody but Watson? Anybody but Watson. That's why I went with the Raiders. And I'm not a big Antonio Pierce fan, but listen, he's at home. He should be better than the Browns. I'm sticking to that rule of be a home dog and just win it. Just win it outright. Next game is the Chiefs at Chargers. Chiefs are favored by 8 points. The over/under is 30.5. Ron, who'd you go with?
Kansas City. Chargers are way too banged up. I don't know if Herbert's going to play. Their safety just got suspended for a game. They got a number of injuries. I just don't see them pulling it off. I think Chiefs will win this one.
Yeah, I mean, this is basically a home game for the Chiefs. I picture it a lot of red and yellow on the field, on the stands. I went with KC only because I'm starting to believe, Ron, that the refs are on the Chiefs' side. I'm starting to believe because there's some plays that you just like, what's going on right now? Why are they not calling that?
Like, did you feel that way when the Patriots were in their run?
I did feel that way only because we talk about Brady getting suspended and Deflategate and all that stuff. I don't feel like they were the darlings in the NFL. I do feel like the Chiefs are the darling of the NFL and they can't do no wrong. And I also feel like they're 3-0, but they could easily be 1-2 or 0-3. Very easily. But I still think that too many injuries on the Chargers, so I picked Kansas City. The next game is the Bills at Ravens. This is a Sunday night game. Baltimore is favored by 2.5. The over and under is 45.5. Ron, who'd you go with?
I'm going with the favorite. I'm going with Baltimore. I've been, like I said, high on them. They were inside my rankings, top 10. You yelled at me for that, gave me crap. And they went out and beat the Cowboys. At one point, they were blowing them out.
And then what happened, Ron? Keep going. Then what happened?
They took their foot off the gas. That's what happened.
And that should be a top 10 team when they didn't play all four quarters.
Absolutely. They took their foot off the gas. But
I have a number for you, Ron. 39 points. Okay. That's how many points they've given up in the fourth quarter to all three teams. They almost lost to Dallas by three. They won by three.
They did that.
They gave up 19 points in the fourth quarter. How can you say that this team is a top 10 team?
When they beat Buffalo this week, I want them in your top five, okay? That's all I'm saying.
And why are you so high on Baltimore? This is not even your team.
No, it's not, but I think they're a good team. I mean, it'd be stupid to say that they're not a good team. You have Lamar, two-time MVP, Derrick Henry, the king of all running backs.
If it wasn't for the Browns and Cincy being so bad this year, I would say that they have no chance of making the playoffs. But because Cincy and Cleveland are so bad.
Oh, so now they got a chance of making the playoffs. Yeah, because you wrote them off last because week. What happened
is Cincy's 0-3 and the Browns are 1-2. That's what happens. So, yeah, okay. you have a bad division. That's what happens. You have a bad division.
Well, we'll talk more when we get to the rankings, because I did take a peek at yours and see how highly you think of the Bills.
Yes.
So, I suspect if the Ravens win, then there'll be a major shift in your thinking. And either the Bills will be outside of your top 10 or the Ravens will be in your top 10.
Listen, 3-1 teams are not outside my top 10.
Okay, so despite a loss, right?
If you have three losses, yes, you should not be in the top 10. You should not be in the top 10. So okay. Anyways, yes, I am going with Buffalo. I think Buffalo is the best team in the NFL right now. They're number one. Forget Kansas City. Forget all those other 3-0 teams. Buffalo is number one. I think that Buffalo is going to handle their business and beat Baltimore.
Okay.
Monday night, again, with the two games. Well, how do you feel about having two games, right?
It's terrible. It would have made more sense if they're going to do this, and they shouldn't do this. It would have made more sense to maybe start one game at on the East Coast, at 6 or something like that, start the other at 9. So you can get a chance to watch both, but it's terrible. You can't watch both, so I don't know why they're doing it. I don't like it.
I was against it. And then when I saw that Jacksonville was getting blown out, it was nice to have a second option. It was nice to have a second option. I don't know if that's going to happen this week. Titans at the Dolphins. Dolphins are favored by 1.5. 37.5 is the over and under. Ron, who'd you go with?
Yeah, these teams will probably both tie 0-0, but give me Tennessee. I got them winning this one. If they don't, there's got to be some changes to the quarterback position if they can't pull off a win against a third string quarterback and whoever Miami rolls out there, this week.
Are they both 0-3?
Let me take a look at the standings real quick. I believe so.
So this is like a poo-poo game. This is like, yes, you can win. You can be the best worst team in the NFL. No, Miami has one win. Miami has one win. And I think they just signed Huntley. Huntley, yeah. I don't know. You say you love Mike McDaniels, and now he doesn't have a QB, so is he capable of winning this game? I think he is. I think this is his throw the kitchen sink at Tennessee. Because Tennessee, Will Levis makes some dumb mistakes. Dumb mistakes. And I think that he's going to make a lot of mistakes. It's going to be hot. In Miami, I don't know. I got Miami, but again, this could easily be the poo-poo game of the week. The final game, Seattle at Detroit. Ron, who'd you go with? Detroit's favored by 4 points. 46.5 is the over and under.
Yeah, give me Detroit. I got them winning this one. I know Seattle isn't playing too bad, but I got Detroit winning this one.
Yeah, I got Detroit winning this one. And I like what the Seahawks are doing, but I don't think Walker is back, right? I think he's still injured.
Yeah. And Branch is hurt. That's going to be a big loss for Detroit if he's not able to play. But I still think they're the better team.
Yeah, I think that they're trying to get that magic that they had last year. They just, again, when we always talk about this, not having a real preseason, not playing people out there, not having a real off season, OTAs and all that. It's just the teams. It takes a while for offenses to get going, right? Unless you're McVay or McDaniels or Shanahan, you're just not gonna go pedal to the gas right off the bat, right? I think that's going on in Detroit right now. They haven't worked out the kinks yet, but I picked Detroit to win it.
And out of these 3-0 teams, or these undefeated teams, I think Seattle is the most suspect. Just because if you look at the teams they've beaten so far, right? The Broncos, and that was 26-20, right? The Patriots, 23-20. And then the Dolphins, 24-3. So, and Dolphins are on their third string quarterback. So those teams aren't any good. What's the come by record of the three teams right there? Broncos, Patriots, Dolphins. Probably talking a three wins. So, you know, we'll see. If they are able to go into Detroit and beat them, then props to them. But the Lions, to me, are the better team here.
Yeah, I picked the Lions too. So let's go into our teams, Ron. And let's go at New England at San Francisco. When I checked the spread, it was 10.5. I think it went down to 9.5, but that's still very, very high. Over and under is 39.5. Ron, what's your pick?
Yeah, give me San Francisco, 23-10. I think they'll cover that 10.5. I don't think they'll get to 40 or 39.5 points. But I think San Fran will win pretty easily.
Yes, take the under. Take the under. Even though Purdy has been playing pretty well, Brandon Ayuk is terrible. I don't know what happened.
I'll say he's terrible.
he got bit and then he stopped trying. I don't know what else to say. Kittle is hurt. McCaffrey, we already talked about. He's in Germany. This team is hurting. But I think the defense is going to pull it out. My prediction is 10-21. And I don't even know if New England gets the 10 points. That's neither here or there. I think they have a good kicker, but again, you can't punch it in, right? The next game, Pittsburgh at Indy. Pittsburgh is favored by 2, which again, it's a slap in the face. 39.5 is the over and under. Ron, who'd you pick?
Believe it or not, I got Indy winning this game. I think this is a trap game for Pittsburgh. This is one of those games you look back on the schedule and say, how the hell did Pittsburgh lose? And I think this week is things are falling into line. The number of injuries we've had this week. So Ty Smith's going to be out for a couple weeks, for example. Who else is out? Jalen Warren's been out, you know, not practicing with the hamstring. He had Najee, who will play, but he was in a sling. His arm was in a sling after the Chargers game, so he's banged up a little bit. I think it's a perfect trap game. And, you know, I got Indianapolis winning this one 23-20.
I got Steelers winning 17-10 because the Indy defense is just so bad. They give up the most rushing yards, the most passing yards. I don't know what that scheme that they're running, if they have enough good players to run that scheme, they need to change it up. And I feel like Steelers, even with all the injuries you just mentioned, they're just a better team. I think that Richardson, he's just not a good QB, and maybe he'll be in the future, but not right now. And if I had to choose between Fields and Richardson, give me Fields. I mean, Richardson will have an amazing play, but then he'll just overthrow guys left and right. Underthrow guys left and right. I don't know. I'm not a Richardson fan right now. Ron, what's your upset special?
Yeah, so Dallas at the Giants. You mentioned Dallas was favored by 4.5, I believe. I know they're not playing that well. Dallas isn't. New York just coming off a win. Maybe that gives them a little bit of momentum here, give them some confidence. Giants, as I mentioned, doing the right things by feeding neighbors. I think they'll continue to do that. Singletary's running the ball pretty well. Dallas has no run defense whatsoever. I got the Giants winning this one 26-24.
What was the point spread?
Dallas by 4.5.
44.5 is the over and under.
Over under, yeah.
So you think that they go over?
I do. I think both these teams' defense aren't really necessarily playing that great to start the season.
I got Dallas on this game, and I picked them last game against Baltimore because I thought, not 2 weeks in a row, they're not going to be embarrassed. And they were. They were very embarrassed. I don't know. Does McCarthy, if he doesn't win this game, and by the time that we see our friend Chris, the game has already been played, but he'll be in a good mood if the Giants win. If Dallas loses to the Giants and they go 1-3, is this the end for McCarthy?
No, not in the middle of the season, if that's what you're asking. At the end of the season, yeah, I think his job might be at risk if they can't win a playoff game, for sure. But they're not going to make any changes mid-season, no.
Okay, I don't know. I mean, not mid-season, because he didn't get an extension, right? He didn't get this is his final year, basically. And I think Jerry Jones is like, the only way you can save this season or get an extension is by winning the Super Bowl. And we know that hasn't happened in like 30 plus years. But I still like Dallas. My upset special, Ron. Washington at Arizona. The spread is Arizona by 3.5. The over and under is 49.5. I predict, first of all, I'm riding Jaden Daniels. I know that his defense, he played against the Bengals, he played against the Giants, but he's been legit. He's been legit. He knows what he's doing. Robinson, he's a pretty good running back. I think he's a pretty good running back. I don't know if Arizona, I thought that the defense would be better this year. I don't know why they're allowing so many points. I just don't think they have the roster, but I'm going to pick them to win this game 24-13. And Arizona might score more points than that. I might take the over, actually. I think they're going to go over 49.5. I'm riding the hype, man. I'm riding the hype in Jaden Daniels.
So what's your final score going to be then? Are you changing your score?
24... I'll say 24-21. We change that.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that it's a close game, but the way Daniels, the only thing that I'm concerned about him is that he doesn't like to slide. And when he, for some reason, when he runs with the ball, he doesn't go out of bounds. And buddy, you're a skinny guy. You want to make it to the next quarter. You don't want to go into blue tent. Just slide. Just go out of bounds. But having said all that, I think they got a good one. And Kingsbury, I think he's going to be up for this game because Arizona fired him. So I like this game. I think it's going to be on the YouTube quad circle. So to speak.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to our power rankings, Ron. Ron, who made your power rankings?
All right. So Kansas City, I did not change them at all. I still got them at number one. I think they're the best team in the league. Buffalo's right next to them, though. I moved them up, but where were they last week? No, I actually had them at number two last week, so they still stay there. Detroit, I got number three. I think last week I had Houston. With the loss, I dropped them a bit. I got Minnesota at number four. They're playing well, undefeated right now. I think they deserve to be up there. Seattle, just talked about them a little bit. I moved them up because they won from 7-5, but I do question the teams that they're playing. Six, I got Houston, so I had them dropping from 3rd to 6. Pittsburgh, the Steelers, I finally put them inside my top 10. I got them at number 7. Atlanta, I had them at number 8 last week. I got them at number 8 this week, so no change there. Even though they, you know, they lost and should have won that game, I left them exactly where they're at because, again, they were playing the number 1 team. Baltimore, I moved them. Actually, I kept them where they're at, too. They were at number 9 last week. I got them at number 9 again. So no change, even though, you know, they beat Dallas. And then I'm closing out. Let's see, I had Philly last week. I got Philly again at number 10. So that rounds out my top 10. I think, listen, there's some teams that you could probably argue to put inside that mix, like New Orleans I left out. The Jets are playing their 2-1. I left them out. You know, I think they'll have opportunities to get in the mix, but right now those are my top 10.
Yeah, I basically, when I looked at my top 10, I made sure that none of the South NFC South teams were on my list. I just don't trust them. I don't trust one Atlanta. I don't trust New Orleans. I don't trust Tampa Bay. I definitely don't trust Carolina. So I made it a point that no, they're not going to be in my top 10 list.
So Atlanta, let's talk about that for a sec. You don't trust them, even though they just lost to Kansas City, right? The other loss was against the Steelers, not by much. They beat Philly, who you have at number 8.
Yeah, they got one victory. Philly has two.
But how could Philly, with the 2, lost to Atlanta?
You picked Baltimore and Buffalo is number 2 on your list. So tell me how that worked out.
They haven't played yet, right? So Buffalo's 3-0 right now. I got Baltimore beating them like this week, yes, but they haven't played them yet. So for now, they're number 9.
Okay, well, then that's...
If Baltimore wins, you better believe Baltimore will be ahead of, you know, Buffalo, despite, you know, Buffalo only having one loss.
Well, same rationale. I use the same rationale because Atlanta won because Philly had a bad, that was a bad call. Why throw it in the fourth and one? Nick Sirianni should be fired.
Shouldn't Atlanta have won against Kansas City this week?
Well, that was the refs. That wasn't the coaching. That was the refs.
Okay, but you're admitting that they should have won, right?
No, I'm not admitting it. I'm just saying that was a bad blown call by the refs. That's all I'm saying.
Honestly, so if the call was made, the right call was, would Atlanta not be sitting here?
No, that was a bad throw. That was a bad throw by Cousins because they hit. If the player for Kansas City turned around, that was the NIT. And you know it.
He did not turn around,
yeah,
right?
There was no flag.
But you just said it should have been a flag. It was a bad call by the official, right? So the ball should have been placed on the 1. Atlanta should have won the game, period, right?
No, that's the way the ball rolls.
They would be 2-1, and they would have beaten.
Ruby doesn't count, Ron. Ruby doesn't count. Last week,
they would have been your number 1 ranked team last week.
Doesn't count.
Okay, so you have them. They should have won against Kansas City, right? They could have won against Pittsburgh, right?
Almost doesn't count, Ron. If you look at the standings, it doesn't say they could have won. They could have won.
Okay, so why is Philly in and they lost to Atlanta? Explain that to me.
They played the number 1 offense and won. So to me, they're a better team. Anyways, what I was saying is no NFC South teams and no AFC South team except for Houston, which barely made it at number 10. So I got Buffalo at number 1. I got Minnesota at number 2. I got KC on number 3. So they dropped to number 3 from number 1. I have Seattle, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Detroit, Philly, we just talked about, New York Jets, and Houston.
what did Green Bay do to make you all of a sudden jump them into your top 10?
Because they have a good defense.
They beat the Titans?
They beat the Titans. They have two victories. You have two teams that won one victory. So don't tell me about why it's going to be there.
It doesn't matter. It's still who you play. It's who you play.
And who has Baltimore lost to? Kansas City.
Yeah, exactly.
And they lost to who else? The Raiders. Explain that.
Okay, it's one team they probably should have won.
Now it's one team. Yeah.
They should have won.
See, that's what I mean. It's like.
But they got
Contes,
they beat Dallas.
They lost to the Raiders.
Dallas, right?
And
they beat Dallas.
Is Dallas on your list? Is Dallas on my list? No, because they're not a top 10 team.
Okay. All right. Hey, lots of changes, you know, will happen.
Yes.
It's only week 3. We're going into week 4. This will shuffle for sure after this week.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Ron, what do you have to say to the Steelers fans out there?
Listen, it's good to be 3-0. It's been a while since we've been 3-0. I wanted to continue. I see this as a trap game, as I mentioned. Injuries are starting to pile up a little bit. Although, you know, they haven't really. There's some guys that are on long-term IR, but most of the injuries are, you know, guys that are coming back in a couple weeks or so. So not that big of a deal. I think we can weather the storm. This is an easier, quote-unquote, easier part of our schedule. So we can get through it. But I do see this as a trap game. I hope the Steelers are pumped up like as they were last week because they knew the Chargers were going to be a physical team. I don't expect the Colts to be that physical, but I expect them to execute from time to time. And if we come out and play sloppy, then we give the game away. If we come out and we don't tackle or, you know, we just aren't focused, then we'll give the game away. So that's what I'm worried about. I hope I'm wrong because the Steelers are a better team. But if we can get to 4-0, hey, you know, anything can happen. You know, this could be our year. So we'll see.
After 4-0, you're crowning them? 4-0, you're crowning them?
crowning them. Division champs in the playoffs. That's what I'm crowning them.
Okay. I thought you were talking about Super Bowl for a second.
No, I'm not there yet.
Listen, I have team futures with the Steelers. I picked the over. I picked them to be division champions. I didn't go as far as the Super Bowl, but I also picked them to have the most sacks, even though the Vikings are right now leading it. I just feel like this defense is one of a kind defense. Maybe even Ravens. 2001 Ravens defense. I just feel like they're elite. I know there's some injuries, but I think they're good over that. As long as TJ Watt is there, and what's the other rookie linebacker that you keep texting me about?
Second year. Yeah, Herbig. Second year player.
I think that they have a bright future. As far as the Patriots are concerned, listen. We know that this season was going to be a lot of losses, right? It's a lot of losses. Gerard Mayo, first-year head coach. He's learning on the job as he goes. I just want them to be competitive. 10 games between games might give them a head start with this game. I don't know how good Brock Purdy is going to play in this game. Shanahan, just too good. He'll have something up his sleeve. Can you just tackle? Go back to the basics. Just tackle better. Don't blow any plays on defense. Just be better. Be better as a team. Jacoby Brissett, my hat's off to you. Keep taking those hits until they figured out how the offensive line works. Because whatever you do, do not put Drake May out there with this offensive line. When they put him out there against the Jets, I was like, oh boy, this is not good. And what happens? The first pass almost got intercepted. I was like, oh man, this is not good. This is not good. And then he got hit very hard twice. Once because he thought he could run with the ball, and then another time he got him in the blitz. I just feel like they have to improve the offensive line before Drake May goes out there, because then you might ruin his development. You might ruin the fact that he's still a rookie, still learning. He's only, what, 21? He just turned 21. What were we doing at 21? We certainly were not, you know, on a professional team. So, yeah, I just, listen. And
hey, Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions this rookie year. I think he turned out pretty fine.
He turned out fine because that offensive line eventually got better. Eventually got better. And they were like, oh, he's a better player when he's upright. So, yes. Yes, he didn't get happy feet and got rid of the ball too soon and got intercepted. I know Peyton Manning, there was a lot of pick sixes, right, when he was a rookie. So, yeah, I don't see that happening. What's is your plan for Sunday? Because, what, you have a 1 o'clock game, right?
Yeah.
Patriots playoff 4. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, it was our episode 100. We got a storm coming to Florida. Hopefully people are safe and evacuated, and just floods, flood zones here and there. Nothing too hectic.
No losing power either.
Oh, yeah, no losing power. It is still hot. And, yes, and my fridge has food in it. So I don't want that food to be spoiled. So in that case, I say peace.
Peace.
All right, that's it, guys. That's the end of the show. Thanks so much for all your support and listening today. If you got any questions, comments, feedback, feel free to email us at simsportsmedia@gmail.com. That's SYMSPORTSMEDIA@gmail.com. Peace.